It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this episode of Senior Talk. Today, we're diving into an issue that affects millions of older adults, but doesn't always get the attention it deserves: the risk of falling. Falls can change lives in an instant. I'm sure you know that, or know someone who has had a fall and has such a huge impact on them. The good news is, though, that many of the falls are preventable. My guest today is Lisa DeWeese, occupational therapist and regional director of outpatient operations at Preferred Therapy Outpatient and Wellness. They specialize in rehabilitation therapy solutions designed specifically for older adults. Their services include physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. Impressively, they serve most of Maine. They serve Androscoggin, Aroostook, Cumberland, Hancock, Kennebec, Knox, Lincoln, Penobscot, Piscataquis, Waldo, Washington, and York counties. So there is one near you. Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for being here to explain the risks of falling and what can be done about it.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with what makes falls such a significant health concern for older adults.
In a nutshell, a lot of people think that falls aren't going to happen to them. And it's actually one of the most common reasons that we see people lose independence in their home. And really, our mission as a company is to let individuals maintain that independence and age where they choose to age. So we need to look primarily at prevention more so than treatment after a fall.
So a lot of people think falls are just a natural part of aging, and I'm going to assume that that is not accurate.
That's true. Falls are not a normal part of aging, but they are usually a warning sign that something's going on. And just to back up a little bit, a fall is just an unintentional change of position. It doesn't have to mean that you hit the ground. It doesn't mean that you have to get hurt. You just end up at a lower level than you started. So as you're walking through your home, if you lose your balance and end up sitting in your favorite recliner, that's unexpectedly, that's still a fall.
So that would be considered a fall as well. I mean, who hasn't stumbled and landed on the couch?
Absolutely.
That's fascinating. I remember years ago, there was a gentleman who walked and walked in the neighborhood. And one day I was leaving and he was essentially squatting on the ground at the end of my street. Mm-hmm. So I immediately stopped and he said, I didn't fall. I just went to tie my shoe and now I can't get up. How common are falls among seniors? I mean, are there any surprising statistics that people, be a wake up call?
Let me give you the top two that I think are very surprising. Every 11 seconds, someone is seen in the emergency room for a fall.
Every 11 seconds.
Yes. And 1 in 5 falls causes a very serious injury, usually a hip fracture or a brain injury.
That gave me chills, that statistic. I had no idea. So what are most common reasons that seniors, older adults will fall?
I can tell you that they don't happen usually because of one single issue. They're usually a combination of things. And common risk factors include poor balance, lower body weakness, like the gentleman you were just talking about that couldn't get up from tying his shoes. Vision changes are a big one. Blood pressure changes, medication side effects, and also just poor environment, which people need help identifying sometimes.
So talk to me about someone's environment in their home. A lot of falls probably happen at home. And I know some seniors, mom included, can be clutterbugs. So there are probably a lot of tripping hazards everywhere. Talk to me about that.
Clutter is obviously a biggie and the most obvious. Some of the less obvious factors in the home might be cords, especially this time of year for people using space heaters. Pets and grandchildren are big factors in falls, or the toys that belong to those pets and grandchildren. Poor lighting is a biggie. As we go in and we do home evaluations, we look at the lighting. When people age, their eyes don't use the light as easily as they did before. So if areas are dim, their brain and their eyes are taking a little bit longer to adjust to that environment, therefore increasing the risk of missing something that they are going to trip over.
What about footwear? See a lot of seniors maybe wearing slippers or flip-flops, and even outside in the summer, wearing sandals that are maybe slippery. Talk to me about footwear.
In the backyard.
Definitely a factor. I like to joke when I work with the seniors in our community and say we're so lucky to have L.L. Bean right here because they make the perfect shoe. The moccasin with the thick rubber bottom is literally the perfect shoe for somebody that likes to be comfy in their home. Proper footwear is going to fit both on the front and the back of your foot and have some way to be secure on your foot. So the Crocs that people like to wear and the flip-flops, like you mentioned, are just not adequate footwear.
They may be comfortable, but I can see falls happening. And sometimes the little pretty shoes that women want to wear, ballet flats and that kind of thing,
Yes.
it just doesn't feel supportive for one thing, but also could be dangerous on a slippery floor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the support is key. If your foot can move inside the shoe easily, it probably is not a great shoe for maintaining your balance.
Talk to me about balance. What are some of the ways that someone can increase their balance if they're feeling like they're unsteady? And I have found that sometimes they don't want to talk to their primary care provider about being unsteady because it's either embarrassing or they're afraid of what's going to happen, where physical therapy is probably the best solution for that. But talk to
Yeah.
me about that.
It's interesting you bring up those points because only one in four people report a fall to their physician. And usually they are afraid of the consequence. They're afraid that the daughter or son is going to say, "That's it, mom. Time for that nursing home." And that's exactly what we're trying to help community members prevent. I do want to point out to you, occupational therapy is also extremely helpful in the balance programs, especially in the home where OT focuses on self-care and what's called instrumental activity of daily living, all the home management tasks. So balance also fits very nicely into occupational therapy. To answer your question, knowledge is the big key. Knowledge is power with balance, just like everything else. Consistency in any kind of program is more important than intensity. Daily movement that includes strength, balance, and flexibility is important. And if something feels different, speaking up early and bringing in the professionals that can help prevent that fall is really the way you want to go.
Do you recommend that someone talk to their provider about getting some occupational or physical therapy so they know what to do, or just going off and trying, buying a set of weights on Amazon and trying to figure it out on their own?
I think it's very important to talk to a healthcare professional, whether that be the provider or just calling, your local therapy providers and talking about the precautions that should be followed or if there's any contraindications to doing any exercise. Sometimes blood pressure or physical limitations or previous surgeries can definitely put you at risk when doing exercises that aren't approved by a professional.
I've heard hearing loss can have an impact on falling. Is that true?
Absolutely, both hearing and vision loss. The vestibular system and the visual system are very much tied in to how your body interprets where you are in space. So any changes to either of those systems is very detrimental to maintaining your balance. And those are things that we actually incorporate into our balance programs.
What are some of the things too that people could do for more exercise? For instance, I mentioned the gentleman who walked, and he walked all over the neighborhood. I would venture a guess he walked 2 miles a day because I'd see him everywhere. But and you would think that would be enough, but obviously, and he was no bigger than a minute, but obviously it wasn't because he just could not get off the ground from tying the shoes.
Yeah. So walking is great. It works on your cardiovascular system and your endurance. But things that get overlooked quite frequently are ankle strength. The ankles seem to be a very weak point in our bodies in general. And ankles support all of your weight when you're standing. So weak ankles are definitely an issue. One other thing that I see as an occupational therapist a lot is visual scanning. So people will walk, but they are looking down at the sidewalk. They're not scanning their environment. And once you lose the integration of that system, you increase your risk for falls.
What does that mean? So they're looking down to make sure they don't fall, but they should be looking around more as well as checking what's underneath them.
Absolutely. If you're losing the ability to rotate your head and turn your head and integrate your visual system into the steps that you're taking, it really is detrimental.
We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk more about falls risk, more ways they can be prevented. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Lisa DeWeese, talking about falling. When someone's had a fall, what are the psychological factors that happens that like fear of falling? They get really nervous. They fall, and once they might fall again. I feel like that's very isolating.
It is very isolating. It's also, the fear of falling is one of the top five factors that increases your fall risk. Once you've fallen, you are very afraid. You change your movement patterns, which is very dangerous. You limit yourself inside the home, so social isolation is also very dangerous. And you actually, it's almost like you talk yourself into winning the lottery, you talk yourself into falling. There's a big mind-body connection. And the more you believe that you are going to fall, the more likely you are to have that fall. So part of our prevention program is instilling that confidence through exercise and movement.
And the weight training of getting the legs stronger. How do you, I didn't know about the ankles. I always thought it was kind of a thigh thing. How do you get your ankles stronger or more balanced?
So we have a program, it's called our 12-step program, and we focus heavily on the ankle. So standing on one foot while moving your center of gravity in different ways, standing, one foot in front of the other. We do a lot of stepping and bracing kind of exercises to strengthen those ligaments around the ankle. And you can try this after the interview if you stand on one foot for 10 seconds and then switch feet. You'll notice that one of your ankles is very much stronger than the other.
Oh, interesting. My balance is terrible. And it feels like, Lisa, that it sneaks up on you. One
It
day
does.
you can go anywhere, do anything, and then it feels like overnight, stairs are scary and the balance is scary. And if it's winter, I used to recommend that seniors carry a plastic bottle, like a soda bottle, full of rock salt or the little white pellets, because you never know where you're going if they have done a good job salting. You have to take it with you and sprinkle as you go to protect yourself. When someone has that fear, how difficult is it to alleviate that?
It's very difficult. It's difficult to get past the psychological aspect of that fear, but once, small changes are key. So once we work with somebody two or three times and we get to share with them the small victories of standing on that one foot a little bit longer or taking a larger step or passing through an obstacle course with a little more speed, or even, some of the things we do are looking at your core strength, sitting to standing repetitively in a timed manner. Once we can to educate the person that we're working with on, hey, look at these small changes, it really starts to boost their confidence and they gain a little bit better understanding of what's going on in their body and they feel better when they're in those situations.
I feel like and I know this, during the Medicare wellness visit, the first thing they ask you is, have you had a fall?
Correct.
And I'm sure that a lot of seniors say, nope, I'm all good. And they may have done that tumbling into a chair because they lost their balance. That's very concerning to me because I do that on a regular basis. But you don't mention that because you don't think if that as a fall, if you don't hit the ground, it doesn't feel like it's a fall. It's more of a stumble.
Right. And, secondary to the ankles, when you're thinking about balance, we think about core strength. Because if your core muscles can't hold you upright, you will go down.
And what are some of the exercises for core strength that people could do?
Oh, all kinds of simple things. Just working on going from a seated position to a standing position without using your hands is a very easy one. Again, standing on that one foot and kind of having your body react. They're called writing reactions, and teaching your reflexes how to respond if they feel that shift of gravity, center of gravity.
How can family members help or caregivers help in preventing a fall for their loved one?
I think they can certainly help environmentally first and foremost. They can go in and they can look at the home and make sure that there's no fall hazards in the home. I think encouraging the loved ones to seek the help of an OT or a PT to banish the fears, if you will, is very important. And then I think education. So whether the family member can, you know, there's all kinds of internet sites that you can glean some information from. And we always want them to check with a medical professional, like we spoke of earlier, to make sure the things they're finding are appropriate and safe. There's all kinds of YouTube videos from the Elder Gym that have very appropriate videos to work on balance.
I do want to say I 100% agree with you and know this to be true, that seniors don't want to talk about that they've had a fall because they think it's the beginning of the end and they're going to go in a nursing home. And I'm here to tell you, there are no beds. So even people who, and I've gone through this with my own family recently, even if you really, really need a nursing home and skilled nursing care, it's very difficult to find placement. So just because you've had a fall does not mean you're going to get put somewhere. Do you think falls are getting more attention from the medical profession? They realize here are things that we can do for you. It was very easy to tell my mother's provider, her balance is bad. Can we get physical therapy in the house? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, sure. And he signed right off on it because he gets how important that is. Do you think that that's becoming more prevalent, the understanding of falls in seniors?
I do. And I think a part of that is just knowing that prevention is key. If we can prevent the fall, prevent the injury, prevent the hardship of trying to find a nursing home in this day and time, we can prevent a whole lot of heartache.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about if you do fall, what should you do first? Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Lisa, if someone does fall, let's say they're in their house, what should they do immediately, providing that they may feel that they're okay, they haven't hit their head, they're not bleeding?
Right. In our class, we teach the first thing you want to do is take a self-inventory. You do want to make sure you didn't hit your head. You want to, if you can, roll onto your back and move each limb independently. Make sure there's no sharp pain when you do. We also teach that then you try to get on all fours and crawl to something that can help you get up, a chair, the stair railing, you know, something, so that you can use your upper body to help your lower body get up, because you'll be very shaken. One of the things that we talk about a lot is the assistive devices that we have this day and time. You know, any of the electronic devices that you have in your home that you use for assistance, right? You're yelling out your grocery list to them throughout the day. You can also use them, you know, activate them and say, call 911. And that device, whether it be Alexa or the Google Home or any of those items, can actually call 911 for you, and you can have a conversation with somebody in real time. Carrying your cell phone with you at all times is also a good option, because you can activate your cell phone through voice commands as well to call an emergency personnel to help you out.
And I know my mother has the LiveSafe through Eastern Maine, and that works really well.
Right.
And you test it every once in a while. It's I want to say $30 a month, so a dollar a day, and they're right there. They're right on it. And if you're in an independent housing, you're in an apartment, the inclination, because someone's going to probably hear you fall, is for your neighbors to try to help you get up. Is that a bad idea?
I think it depends on the fall. I think it depends on you. And I think it depends on your neighbor. There's no good answer for that. You know, you don't want your frail neighbor trying to help you up by any means. If there's a chance that you were hurt, you don't want to be moved by somebody who's not trained and do further damage. Again, you and your neighbor are probably going to be shaken up. So might not be making the best decisions in the moment. But again, I think there's too many variables to give that a solid answer.
Should someone, if they've had a fall, even if they feel okay, should they call 911 or someone with them call 911? I know most seniors are going to absolutely refuse the hospital unless they're actually, they feel hurt. They're going to refuse the 911. I've seen it happen with mom's friends. However, sometimes you don't know because the adrenaline is rushing right after the fall and they're shaky. The next day might be a different story.
I don't know that you need to activate the emergency services right away if you can get up and you feel okay, but it certainly warrants a call to your doctor. Or, many insurance plans now have a 1-800 line where you can talk to a nurse, just to talk to somebody who can walk you through these are the things that you should be monitoring after your fall.
Do you think that someone, it's a good idea to look at why you fell? My shoe was
Oh,
untied and I
absolutely.
tripped on the lace. I tripped over the cords. Something that really looking around to see. And does that make a difference psychologically? If someone sees, I just tripped over my space heater cord, or these slippers have gotten too worn, they're slippery, that's why I fell. Is that more psychologically beneficial than just falling for no reason? They can point to
People,
why this happened.
people like to blame something, right? It probably psychologically does make a difference. However, it also underlines the importance of calling in a professional, an OT or a PT, to help you look at that home environment. These visits from the therapist primarily are covered by insurance. You get somebody in there to give you some home modification tips. Usually the tips are nickel and dime kind of tips. We know that people can't afford big changes in their homes. Or their habits that can be changed to prevent falls. For example, we see a lot of people with calendars, old-fashioned paper calendars, hung on the wall on the other side of their kitchen table. So they have to lean forward and lean over the table to write that doctor's appointment on their calendar, sending their center of gravity forward and down. So if we could just move that calendar, we might prevent a fall. It can be very simple things like that.
These are very simple changes
They
to
are.
make. My mother has, she's a clutter bug. Everybody knows who listens that she's a clutter bug. And I said, you need to clean this up. I will help you because you could fall. And she said, no, it's better because if I fall, I'll land on something and I'll be fine. So I'll run into the, I'll land on the chair and it's, baby steps. We're almost out of time. What? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say sometimes calling in that therapist helps the loved one, the daughter, the son, because your mom might be more inclined to listen to somebody else. It's hard to be the caregiver than the loved one at the same time.
Is that the truth? We're almost out of time. What's the one myth about fall prevention you'd like to debunk, if there is one?
Especially in the winter, I got this the other day from a reporter. She had heard to walk like a penguin when you're outside to prevent a fall. And that just, it's so wrong in so many ways. You don't want to change your patterns. You don't want to change what your body is used to doing in order to try to prevent a fall. What we want to do is correct the patterns that are increasing your risk, but work within your own home environment and what your body's used to.
Great information. Lisa, thank you so much for being here. Quickly, tell me how people can reach you if they're interested.
Oh, we have a website. We have a website at Preferred Therapy Solutions, or people can call in directly at 959-599-8171.
Thank you so much again for being here. This was wonderful information. That's it for me.
Absolutely.
This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.